Thank you all for coming. Dr. Romy said, my name is Jenny Clement, and I work under Dr. Steve Haig and with Jean Gould at Texas A&M University. My presentation is effects of exogenously applied endothrioxetic acid to cotton species. So I wanted to start with a little bit of an introduction into fiber development. They are epidermal cells on the seed ovule, and they go through four stages of development: initiation, elongation, secondary wall thickening, and maturation. Now, the days past anthesis that these stages go through varies between genotypes and environments, and not all epidermal cells develop into fibers. So here's a nice picture I found from Lee in 2007 with the first line A. The first row showing bowl development and the second line showing fiber development. The bar on the bottom kind of gives you an idea of the stages of development with the days past anthesis of when these stages occur underneath. And you can see by the change in color that the phases overlap. So endothrioxetic acid is a form of auxin, and it's abbreviated IA. And Beasley and Ting in 1973 found that it was necessary for fiber initiation. The cells are primed for fiber development by hormone signaling associated with anthesis. So fertilization is necessary for auxin to start. And auxin has also been found to be essential for cell elongation. So here's a graph showing the rate of elongation on the y-axis versus days after anthesis on the x-axis. And the first line, the solid line, is primary elongation, and the dotted line is secondary wall thickening. And I put a red line at 10 DPAs, which is the start of secondary wall thickening. And if you notice that basically the peak of primary elongation is right at 10 DPA, right when secondary wall thickening starts. So this shows there's a big competition between the two phases. So this graph shows the amount of auxin present during fiber development. A is a long staple cotton, B is a medium staple, and C is a short staple. This work was done in 1982, and you can see that the amount of auxin is extremely higher than B or C in the longer staple cotton. And so that the auxin levels are high at anthesis, and they tend to taper off as the bowl develops. So I came across a paper by Siegel and Giovallis where they actually applied auxin, IAA, and GA at pre and post anthesis in a greenhouse setting. They applied it to the bowl between 0 and 5 DPA, and then they harvested it. And they counted the fiber initials. And the results showed, with the fibers per ovule on the y-axis and ovule age on the x-axis, that the adding auxin, which is the open circles, showed an increase in fiber initials, fibers per ovule. On the left is the pre-anthesis treatments, and on the right is the post-anthesis. And the red circle shows that at 5 DPA, there was roughly a 59% increase in initials over the control in adding the GA3 alone. So that got me curious. Well, what has been done in the field? Has it ever been applied, in the field? So I didn't really find too many papers having done this. So my objective was to characterize exogenous IA on yield and fiber properties in tissue culture and in the field environment, and in a field environment. So for tissue culture, I took Phytogen 355, which I also used in the field, and we chose it because it has an average fiber length. And I took Pima SJ7, which is a longer fiber. I harvested them at 1 DPA, put them in media, with supplemented oxygen. I looked at a 1x, a 3x, and a 10x rate. So this is my pictures. This is for Pima, and on the left is the 3x, and on the right is the 10x. And for Phytogen 355, the left is the 3x and the right is the 10x. And here's just another shot of the 10x. So for my field study, we used Phytogen 355, and we did a RCB split plot. I knew I wanted to do oxen, but I didn't know what concentration would be best to use. So I looked at a 1x rate and a 3x rate, and then compared that to no treatment at all. Well, where was I gonna apply it? So I did a study where my subtreatment is application type. Where did it go? I did on the bowl, and I did over the top, which was basically on the apical meristem itself. And I only used first position bowls, so to kind of standardize it. My sub-treatment was application date. When do I apply it? And is the auxin actually getting to the fiber? So I did it once, twice, and then three times. Samples were hand-harvested and roller-ginned, and HVI data was used to analyze the fiber. So for my results, here is a table of p-values on the HVI properties, and the significance. I had significant differences for application in lint percent, application by auxin concentration for lint percent, and by date. And in Micronair, I had an auxin by date interaction. So here are my means and LSD. And you can see that I had significant differences for application on the bowl was significantly higher than applying it at the apical meristem, and that applying the higher concentration on the bowl had the highest lint percent. Also, applying it three times was higher. Micronair data was did not really have any well, there's really nothing to see in the Micronair. So in conclusion, based on this data, which is from 2008, I do have 2009 data, but it is still being processed. So based on this data, there is potential for increasing lint percent by applying IA, and direct application to the bowl was more effective than on the apical meristem for lint percent. Further investigation needs to be made into concentration and the number of applications. So for a practical standpoint for producers, it's really unrealistic due to the application method, but not to say a different delivery mechanism or genetic transformation can overcome this hurdle. And with that, I will answer any questions.
Any questions for Jenny?
Yes, sir.
You indicated you applied at 1x, 3x. What was the concentration of 1x?
Okay. The question was, what was the concentrations of the 1x and the 3x rate? The 1x was 0.1 milligrams per milliliter, and the 3x was 0.3 milligrams per milliliter.
Per milliliter?
Mm-hmm.
It's 0.1
ppm. IAA? Yeah, the question was it the concentration?
If you're measuring the ppm, it's in parts, concentration in parts per million.
Yeah. Oh, yes, sir. Sorry. Yes.
The IAA is not stable for balance for the degradation quickly.
Yes.
It's not really a practical material to use for the products other thing.
Right.
It's a good research tool.
You suggested in your introduction that not all of the epidermal cells
Okay.
As far as the number of fibers that are there, would you do anything to try to calculate the real number?
Dr. Cawthorn's question was the tissue culture of the ovules. Did I do anything to look at the fibers, or am I planning to? And I am planning to actually repeat the Siegel experiment to where he actually counted the fiber numbers. So I have those plants growing right now to do that. So, yes, sir.
Have you considered the use of IBA instead of IAA?
Well, I really have not. The The question was, have I considered other forms of auxin? And I really haven't. IA was the main one that I found and what I've looked into. And I know that it is, like you said, it was highly degradative, and it's kind of hard to use in a field setting.
Thank you, Jenny. Let's give her a round of applause.